Greetings, this is Amy Suzara on the poetry segment at Setting the Standard, KPFA 94.1 FM. And right now I have with me for Filipino American History Month, the poet Rachel Cruz. She's the author of the chapbook Self-Portrait as Rumor and Blood by Dancing Girl Press 2012. She hosts the Blood Jet Writing Hour on Blog Talk Radio and co-edits Cuento for Lost Things, an anthology of Philippine mythology with Melissa Sipin Gabon. An Emerging Voices Fellow, a Kundiman Fellow, and a Vona writer, she lives and writes in Southern California. So I have her calling in right now from Southern California. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you so much, Amy, for having me.
Yeah, it's really great to have you and to have this conversation. We've known each other for some time, and it's really exciting to see all the stuff that you're working on right now.
Well, thank you. I'm really excited to be on the show, and I know that you've had some awesome guests on today, so I'm excited to be in dialogue with them and with you.
Yeah. So I've been framing our little mini interviews by asking the basic question of what is the importance and role of Filipino American identity in your work as a writer?
I think my identity as a Panay writer is inextricable with my background as a Filipino American, but also with my poetry itself. I deal a lot with Filipino mythology in my work, and specifically the Aswang, who is a Filipino witch known to many as a typical housewife during the daytime, but at night her body splits in half, and the bottom half of her body she hides, and the top half goes flying into the night looking for fetuses to suck out of pregnant women. And of course, this story was told by my mother growing up, and it was something that I was sort of fascinated with as a child, but then later became obsessed with as an adult and a poet, sort of thinking about issues of identity and what it means to be a woman and a woman in the Philippines, and thinking about our traditions with magic and healing and sort of how those get skewed with colonialism and specifically with Spanish Catholicism. And so I'm very much interested in these ideas of women and power and how women are perceived in different ways.
Great, great. I love how you just sort of broke down both the mythology and also looked at sort of a concept that people can relate to on a more contemporary basis as well.
Definitely. And today I'm going to be reading a few poems that circle around Imelda Marcos, who of course is infamous for her shoes. And it's funny because doing research on her, there's so many fashionistas in the States who are sort of obsessed with her just sense of style and her fashion, but don't pay much attention to her complicity with martial law in the Philippines during the late 70s and 80s, and what it meant for her to sort of be part of emptying the treasury, the national treasury in the Philippines. And then, of course, folks are starving and artists and journalists are being disappeared because of their dissent against the government. So I'm just really interested in those contradictions.
Help me try to recall this. There was a CD that came out. Was it that was about Imelda? Because speaking of what you're saying, that people are sort of blinded to the actual history and sort of more fascinated by the shoes.
Right. You know who produced it was David Byrne.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it was a project, it was kind of like a conceptual album focusing on Imelda's like coming of age and her childhood and her rise to prominence in the Philippines. And it's really interesting because, I have to re-listen to this album, but it seems to me that there's less of a critical eye on her role as the first lady of the former first lady of the Philippines. And I don't think there are many Filipino musicians who are involved with that album. So it's kind of an interesting artifact to have now that I think it came out a couple of years ago, but
right.
Something that I want to revisit in my own work since I'm sort of still immersed in it.
It was funny. Right. And it was funny because I think I saw it at Whole Foods and I was kind of going, why am I looking at this right now? It was one of those, I think, speaking of the themes that have been on the show tonight, a lot of what a lot of us are doing as writers is trying to dispel stereotypes and just fill in gaps, because there's very little in the mainstream around Filipino Americans and Filipino identity, and then you have something like Imelda's shoes, and then you have a CD by a famous musician who that's not exactly capturing what it is we're trying to capture, and it's just funny. But I love that you did these poems on Imelda, and I think you have two short ones that you had sent me that are part of a series, is that correct?
Yes,
called
part of a series.
Imelda. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go ahead and launch into the two Imelda poems? I think those would go nicely together.
Definitely. And before I read them, I just want to note that I am interested in dispelling the myths, but also thinking about in these works how I'm also buying into them at the same time. And I'm also writing these series of poems that are circling around Nicki Minaj and, you know, her interest in the flashy and the drama and what that means and how many parallels she has with Imelda. So I'm trying to make these associations.
Greetings, this is Amy Suzara on the poetry segment at Setting the Standard, KPFA 94.1 FM. And right now I have with me for Filipino American History Month, the poet Rachel Cruz. She's the author of the chapbook Self-Portrait as Rumor and Blood by Dancing Girl Press, 2012. She hosts the Blood Jet Writing Hour on Blog Talk Radio and co-edits Cuento for Lost Things, an anthology of Philippine mythology, with Melissa Sipin Gabon. An Emerging Voices Fellow, a Kundiman Fellow, and a Vona writer, she lives and writes in Southern California. So I have her calling in right now from Southern California. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you so much, Amy, for having me.
Yeah, it's really great to have you and to have this conversation. We've known each other for some time, and it's really exciting to see all the stuff that you're working on right now.
Well, thank you. I'm really excited to be on the show, and I know that you've had some awesome guests on today, so I'm excited to be in dialogue with them and with you.
Yeah. So I've been framing our little mini interviews by asking the basic question of what is the importance and role of Filipino American identity in your work as a writer?
I think my identity as a Panay writer is inextricable with my background as a Filipino American, but also with my poetry itself. I deal a lot with Filipino mythology in my work, and specifically the Aswang, who is a Filipino witch known to many as a typical housewife during the daytime. But at night, her body splits in half, and the bottom half of her body she hides, and the top half goes flying into the night looking for fetuses to suck out of pregnant women. And of course, this story was told by my mother growing up, and it was something that I was sort of fascinated with as a child, but then later became obsessed with as an adult and a poet, sort of thinking about issues of identity and what it means to be a woman and a woman in the Philippines, and thinking about our traditions with magic and healing and sort of how those get skewed with colonialism and specifically with Spanish Catholicism. And so I'm very much interested in these ideas of women and power and how women are perceived in different ways.
Great, great. I love how you just sort of broke down both the mythology and also looked at sort of a concept that people can relate to on a more contemporary basis as well.
Definitely. And today I'm going to be reading a few poems that circle around Imelda Marcos, who, of course, is infamous for her shoes. And it's funny because doing research on her, there's so many fashionistas in the state who are sort of obsessed with her just sense of style and her fashion, but don't pay much attention to her complicity with martial law in the Philippines during the late 70s and 80s, and what it meant for her to sort of be part of the, you know, emptying the treasury, the national treasury in the Philippines. And then, you know, of course, folks are starving and artists and journalists are being disappeared because of their dissent against the government. So I'm just really interested in those contradictions.
Help me try to recall this. There was a CD that came out. Was it that was about Imelda? Because speaking of what you're saying, that people are sort of blinded to the actual history and sort of more fascinated by the shoes.
Right. You know who produced it was David Byrne.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it was a project, it was kind of like a conceptual album focusing on Imelda's like coming of age and her childhood and, you know, her rise to prominence in the Philippines. And it's really interesting because, you know, I have to re-listen to this album, but it seems to me that there's less of a critical eye on her role as the former first lady of the Philippines. And I don't think there are many Filipino musicians who are involved with that album. So it's kind of an interesting artifact to have now that I think it came out a couple of years ago, but
right.
Something that I want to revisit in my own work since I'm sort of still immersed in it.
It was funny. Right. And it was funny because I think I saw it at Whole Foods and I was kind of going, why am I looking at this right now? It was one of those, I think, speaking of the themes that have been on the show tonight, a lot of what a lot of us are doing as writers is trying to dispel stereotypes and just fill in gaps, because, you know, there's very little in the mainstream around Filipino Americans and Filipino identity. And then you have something like Imelda's Shoes, and then you have a CD by a famous, you know, musician who that's not exactly capturing what it is we're trying to capture. And it's just funny. But I love that you did these poems on Imelda. And I think you have two short ones that you had sent me that are part of a series. Is that correct?
Called Imelda.
Why don't you go ahead and launch into the two Imelda poems? I think those would go nicely together.
Definitely. And before I read them, I just want to note that I am interested in dispelling the myths, but also thinking about in these works how I'm also buying into them at the same time. And I'm also reading these series of poems that are circling around Nicki Minaj and, you know, her interest in the flashy and the drama and what that means and how many parallels she has with Imelda. So I'm trying to make these associations, but also thinking about my role as a, you know, Panay in the U.S. and how much of, you know, my intake of pop culture is part of this. So
I love
that. I hope it to be a self-critique.
All right, great. So go ahead and share the pieces.
My Imelda Marcos. Oh, Imelda Marcos, I wear your hair like a woven flag of sharp stars and bees, something I can't touch. Your hands are laced with sand. Lou Diamond Phillips is serving the clams again. He calls it Cho Filipino, and you deign him a smile. And of course you'd stir the sun out of their shells. As a child, I collected seashells on the shore and at the dinner table, scraping mussels' beards wet with my parents' slurp, salt of salt of salt. My father blew the dust off from the metal green shelf in the garage and laid out mesh for the shells to rest. And now, of course, you are humming Bailar Bamba when I'm yelling, Richie! But Lou refuses to hum and sing, instead readjusting his chef's hat. And the second Imelda poem is, Imelda Marcos untangles her iPod headphone cords at SFO Airport and scrolls her artists, M. Miles Davis, kind of blue, because she loves to sing the words, so what, when the trumpet quakes. So what, so what, so what. Okay then, so what? The kind of blue from an Aquafina water bottle sitting on the check-in counter, half drunk and still. The drops quiver below the cap when the planes descend on the runway. The navy blue vest, crisply ironed, of the United Airlines attendant at customs who pressed her for an autograph. This old Kababayan who left Manila before Aquino's assassination, before Imelda reached her goal of the 1,000th shoe, an Italian mule with a thick buckle, the cataract blue rounding out the attendant's black eyes and the ink from her leaking pen staining Imelda's hand.
Thank you so much. I loved hearing those those together, and also us being able to frame sort of why you're addressing Imelda Marcos and sort of your role as the poet and using the writing as self-critique as well as exploration and a form of filling the gaps. So thank you
Definitely.
For sharing those. They're really great.
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah, we're moving towards wrapping up, but I just wanted to give you a moment to share any work that you're something that you're working on right now, as well as where to keep an eye out for you.
Actually, you mentioned in the bio, Melissa Sipin Gabon and I are co-editing Cuento for Lost Things, which is an anthology of Philippine mythology. And it's kind of a mix of stories and poems and nonfiction that are inspired by traditional myths and, you know, thinking again about the Aswang and or the Manananggal. But there, it's also about lost things and what does it mean for writers to sort of recover the myths and these stories and have to sort of reach back and, you know, press our, you know, our relatives and our grandparents for these stories. So it's not just stories about mythology, but traditions and identities and all these things that have sort of been lost due to force and violence because of war or because of silence within our families or shame. And so it's sort of an anthology that I feel like is trying to take on a lot, but I think it's kind of amazing to see. And we're kind of wrapping up the editing stages now, but it's amazing to see how differently writers are taking the prompt of, you know, story for lost things. And I'm really excited to have, we have Barbara Jane Reyes, who I know is on your show today. She has a poem there. and M. Evelina Galang is going to be in the anthology. Oliver De La Paz, who's a wonderful poet, Joseph Legaspi, Sarah Gambito, and of course some up-and-coming writers like Janice Sapiago, who is going to be featured in the anthology. So check out Cuento for Lost Things, and we have a WordPress, and it's cuentoforlostthings.wordpress.com, and then Cuento spelled Kuwento.
Yeah, so wonderful, and I'm really excited to be a part of that project as well. It sounds
like
Amy's
gonna be
So I'm excited because I love the topic, and I've also been really interested in this concept of mythology, and I just love what you guys are putting together, so it's exciting work. Yeah, so and then any other websites or anything that you want to mention?
Sure. You could check my personal website, but it's not. It kind of resembles a GeoCities website. It's not much to be proud of since I've designed it myself. It's rachelcruz.com. Okay. And then, of course, there's Facebook, so you can find Cuento there. Oh, yeah. And The Blood Jet, which is a podcast that I do. Mm. The Blood Jet Writing Hour, you can find on Facebook as well.
No, I will have to say, I think that The Blood Jet Hour was great, which, Rachel, you've had me on as well, and I really enjoyed that. So everyone check it out, and it's okay. Self-made websites are great. So thank you so much for being on the show, Rachel, and we're looking forward to seeing more of your work soon.
Thank you so much, Amy.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
This has been Amy Suzara on the poetry segment on Setting the Standard, KPFA 94.1 FM. Listen up for some more music from Pedro Reyes.
But also thinking about my role as a, you know, Panay in the U.S. and how much of, you know, my intake of pop culture is part of this. So
I love
that. So I hope it to be a self-critique. Mm. As well.
All right, great. So go ahead and share the pieces.
My Imelda Marcos. Oh, Imelda Marcos, I wear your hair like a woven flag of sharp stars and bees, something I can't touch. Your hands are laced with sand. Lou Diamond Phillips is serving the clams again. He calls it Cho Filipino, and you deign him a smile. And of course you'd stir the sun out of their shells. As a child, I collected seashells on the shore and at the dinner table, scraping mussels' beards wet with my parents' slurp, salt of salt of salt. My father blew the dust off from the metal green shelf in the garage and laid out mesh for the shells to rest. And now, of course, you are humming Bailar Bamba when I'm yelling, Richie! But Lou refuses to hum and sing, instead readjusting his chef's hat. And the second Imelda poem is, Imelda Marcos untangles her iPod headphone cords at SFO Airport and scrolls her artists, M. Miles Davis, kind of blue, because she loves to sing the words, so what, when the trumpet quakes. So what? So what? So what? Okay, then, so what? The kind of blue from an Aquafina water bottle sitting on the check-in counter, half-drunk and still. The drops quiver below the cap when the planes descend on the runway. The navy blue vest, crisply ironed, of the United Airlines attendant at customs who pressed her for an autograph. This old Kababayan who left Manila before Aquino's assassination, before Imelda reached her goal of the 1,000th shoe, an Italian mule with a thick buckle, the cataract blue rounding out the attendant's black eyes and the ink from her leaking pen staining Imelda's hand.
Thank you so much. I loved hearing those those together, and also us being able to frame sort of why you're addressing Imelda Marcos and sort of your role as the poet in using the writing as self-critique as well as exploration and a form of filling the gaps. So thank you
Definitely.
For sharing those. They're really great.
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah, we're moving towards wrapping up, but I just wanted to give you a moment to share any work that you're, something that you're working on right now, as well as where to keep an eye out for you.
Actually, you mentioned in the bio, Melissa Sipin Gabon and I are co-editing Cuento for Lost Things, which is an anthology of Philippine mythology. And it's kind of a mix of stories and poems and nonfiction that are inspired by traditional myths and, you know, thinking again about the Aswang and or the Manananggal. But there, it's also about lost things and what does it mean for writers to sort of recover the myths and these stories and have to sort of reach back and, you know, press our, you know, our relatives and our grandparents for these stories. So it's not just stories about mythology, but traditions and identities and all these things that have sort of been lost due to force and violence because of war or because of silence within our families or shame. And so it's sort of an anthology that I feel like is trying to take on a lot, but I think it's kind of amazing to see. And we're kind of wrapping up the editing stages now, but it's amazing to see how differently writers are taking the prompt of, you know, story for lost things. And I'm really excited to have, we have Barbara Jane Reyes, who I know is on your show today. She has a poem there. And M. Evelina Galang is going to be in the anthology. Oliver De La Paz, who's a wonderful poet, Joseph Legaspi, Sarah Gambito, and of course, up-and-coming writers like Ajena Sapiago, who are, is going to be featured in the anthology. So check out Cuento for Lost Things, and we have a WordPress, and it's cuentoforlostthings.wordpress.com, and then Cuento is spelled K-U-W-E-N-T-O.
Yeah, so wonderful. And I'm really excited to be a part of that project as well. It sounds
like Amy's going to be.
Yeah. So I'm excited because I love the topic. And I've also been really interested in this concept of mythology. And I just love what you guys are putting together. So it's exciting work. Yeah. So and then any other websites or anything that you want to mention?
Sure. You could check my personal website, but it's not, it kind of resembles a GeoCities website. It's not much to be proud of since I've designed it myself. It's rachelcruz.com. Okay. And then, of course, there's Facebook, so you can find Cuento there. Oh, yeah. And the Blood Jet, which is a podcast that I do, the Blood Jet Writing Hour, you can find on Facebook as well.
No, I will have to say, I think that the Blood Jet Hour was great, which, Rachel, you've had me on as well, and I really enjoyed that. So everyone check it out, and it's okay. Self-made websites are great. So thank you so much for being on the show, Rachel, and we're looking forward to seeing more of your work soon.
Thank you so much, Amy.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
This has been Amy Suzara on the poetry segment on Setting the Standard, KPFA 94.1 FM. Listen up for some more music from Pedro Reyes.